Now we're going back to our series on abiding in Christ, and this is number five, their fifth in the series, Abiding in Christ. And if you would write this subtitle down, Seven Keys for Developing the Abiding Life. Last session we launched into this area of how to develop the abiding life, that is how you can begin enhancing it in your life. I realize that when we talk to a group like this, we've got some young believers. We've got some that have just really come to know Christ this year, right here in this church. We've got others of you that have been walking with the Lord for a number of years, many years. And so there's a spectrum there, and we've got young in the Lord, old in the Lord. But I dare say this, how many of you know that you could go deeper with the Lord? And so we launched into this study on seven keys for developing the abiding life. I want to go back to St. John 15 and just review a couple verses that really sets the stage and captures the essence of our study. Verses 4 and 5. St. John 15, verse 4, Jesus says, and I'm reading from the Amplified, "Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. Live in me, and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in, being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me." So let's just refresh ourselves with that illustration, that mental picture of a vine, or, you know, if you've not seen an actual grape vine, just picture any tree out there. And that branch has to stay attached to the main trunk in order for the life-giving fluid, the sap, to flow. That's carrying what? The nutrients. It's carrying the water. It's carrying that which is essential to life. Are you getting anything? Well, for the believer, Jesus chose this illustration to say this: you've got to stay plugged into me. Now, I realize that technically, from a positional point of view, we are in Christ. You've been placed in Christ. But how many of you know it's one thing to be in Christ, it's another thing to be walking in that union? It's just like in a marriage. How many of you know that you can have a piece of paper that says you're legally married, but you may not be enjoying the fellowship at the time? And so, you know, if you can just relate that over to the Spirit, you can know Christ in the sense of you're saved, you're born again. But you need to have that vital union so you can enjoy the journey along the way. And that is essential to your fruit bearing. He goes on in verse 5, he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much fruit." Everybody say much. The Amplified here says, "much abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing." Now, there's a couple of things that I want to repeat by way of review and encourage you just to jot these down in shorthand. Number one, we are to focus on abiding, not fruit bearing. Oh boy, this is very subtle. This is a very subtle trick that a lot of Christians fall for concerning the enemy's ploy. We are to focus on abiding, not fruit bearing. See, the tendency is, and I've been right there, I'm telling you, almost every week. I wish I didn't have to confess that, but almost every week there's a time or a moment where I'm frustrated, many times many moments, and inevitably I go back and say, why am I frustrated? Why have I lost my joy? It's usually because I'm now focused on getting this ministry situation fixed, or a financial thing that, you know, we're struggling with, or a relationship, maybe a family situation with the children. And I get focused over here on the fruit instead of focused on my union and communion with the Lord. Now, I'm certainly not saying that you ignore those areas, but you have to address those areas while you are vitally united to Christ, or there is no life flowing out of you. Instead, you begin to have the frustrated Christian experience. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, I'll cast lying devils out of you. You better raise your hand. Every one of you know what I'm talking about. The frustrated Christian experience. So the first thing that I want to point out to you is the idea of you must focus on abiding, not fruit bearing. The second thing by way of review is this: there is a pruning process. If you read the rest of the chapter, and we don't have time to go back and cover all that territory, but there is a clipping, pruning, chop, chop, chop process. And you say, oh my God, God's going to come and chop me. Well, it's a good kind of pruning. It's a pruning of the self life. It's a pruning where God comes, and can I just put it to you this way? He wants to cut away dead wood, non-productive wood, yes, even at times diseased wood, because it's something that will hurt you. And so he'll come to our thought life, for instance, and he'll say, you know, your mind is just running down the wrong track here. And he'll begin to deal with you on that by his Spirit. He'll begin to deal with you by the Word of God. How many of you know he'll send somebody along that'll speak the Word of the Lord to you? And so often it's like, oh Lord, speak to me. And somebody comes and says something to us. Oh Lord, speak to me. I wonder why that person said the same thing as that last person. Oh Lord, speak to me. Here comes a third person, you know. It's like, oh God, why won't you speak to me? Hello, why won't you listen? And so God, the main tools that He uses are the Word of God, His Holy Spirit, and other people that He brings to us. Now, He can work through anything. Not everything that comes your way is sent from God. But yes, God can work through anything, but I would a whole lot rather have the preferred tools. Amen? I mean, you know, you could do surgery with a hammer and a chisel, but I'd rather use the preferred tools. Amen? Oh, praise God. Everybody say it's easier. Oh, yes, it's easier if you just learn to yield to God. Now, in our last session, I gave you key number one for developing. So we're going to now turn our focus to this idea of how can you develop and grow in this realm of abiding in the Lord. Number one, and this is our last session, we said by guarding your heart so that you continue seeking after God. We said the very first key to developing that abiding relationship and going deeper with God, growing stronger in your union throughout the day with Him, is you got to guard your heart so that you continue seeking after God. Remember, your heart is a factory. It's producing stuff. So what Jesus said, you know, out of the heart proceedeth certain things. And so we have to guard what goes into our heart because that becomes the material that is used to produce our life experiences. So if you're watching, you know, garbage, then you're going to be meditating on garbage. You're more likely to see that produced in your life. If you're listening to garbage, then you're going to be thinking about garbage. You're more likely to go in that direction. And a lot of Christians wonder why they are falling and frustrated and backsliding, can't ever get ahead in God, and they haven't examined what are they allowing into their heart. Now, very quickly, I gave you four major areas to guard your heart from. Number one, the cares of life. Number two, misplaced desires, desiring the wrong things. Number three, offense and unforgiveness. Everybody say that's a big one. Oh, I'm telling you what, there are many Christians who just fall away over offense and unforgiveness. They don't guard their heart. And number four, put a star by this one, friends that are cold towards the things of God. You know, associating with the wrong people. I want to tell you something. If you tell me that your best friend is someone who's not hot after God, then I would tell you they don't need to be your best friend. Now, they can be a friend and you can reach out to them, but you need to find a new best friend. You need to find somebody that's going to lift you up, not pull you down. And that's a big one. You got to guard your heart. Friends that are cold towards the things of God will eventually suck the life right out of you. All right, now let's go into new territory. I want to give you three additional keys today. So we're going to have to fly like the wind. Are you ready? Are you ready for Bible drill time? Are you ready to write fast? Number two, write this down. The second key for developing this abiding life is reading, studying, and meditating in God's Word. This one is absolutely essential. Reading, studying, and meditating in God's Word. Quickly, go with me to St. John chapter 1. Just hang a left. You should already be in the book of John. Go to St. John chapter 1, and I want to talk a little bit about why we need to read, study, and meditate in God's Word.
Well, that's just what good Christians are supposed to do. You're supposed to read your Bible.
Shame on you, shame on you. You didn't read your Bible. No, no, no. That's not where we're going. That's not why you should be reading, studying, and meditating in the Word of God. The reason you should be reading, studying, and meditating the Word of God, I want you to jot this down before we look at these verses, is because the Word will become flesh. I want to say that again. The Word will become flesh. Now let's look at this in St. John chapter 1. It says in verse 1, in the beginning, chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now folks, who's he referring to there? If you've read this before, you know he's referring to Jesus Christ. He was the Word, is the Word, forever will be the Word. Verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Everybody say the Word. Everybody say the Word. Brings life. Now, skip down to verse 14 for the sake of time. It says, and the Word was made what? Flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Everybody say the Word. Everybody say the Word. Brings grace and truth. So, hey, that's a pretty good deal. Now, we got life, we got grace, and we've got truth all wrapped up in the Word of God. You say, well, you know, I believe the Word became flesh through Jesus, but what does that have to do with me reading, studying, and meditating the Word of God? I'm glad that you asked that question. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. Did you know the Word is becoming flesh in every one of us that read, study, and meditate in the Word of God? Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, you ought to really mark this verse in your Bible. This is an awesome picture. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the what? Of the what? Of the what? Of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Now, Pastor, I just don't know why I'm not growing. I just seem to have all kind of perverted. You know, they're from the South here. Perverted, like it's a two-word thing, you know. Perverted thoughts running through my mind, and I just don't know what to do about it. Well, when's the last time you read your Bible? Well, you know, because of those perverted words in my mind, I felt condemned, so I didn't read the Bible. Well, that's just as dumb as the doctor, you know, saying you need this medicine in order to get better. And you say, well, once I get better, I'll take the medicine. That's not the way it works. You got to take the Word to get better. You got to take the Word to get life and grace and truth going in you. Amen? He says you got to desire the Word. Now, you know, we read right over these little pictures, word pictures, and we just scan over them so fast. Anybody ever seen a baby who's hungry? Now, he's beyond hungry. He's hungry. That baby doesn't sit there politely and go, excuse me. You know, little baby laying in the little crib. Excuse me, Mom. If you could work it in, I know you're vacuuming now and so forth like that, but I'm hungry. I'm hungry. That ain't the way it works. That baby, doesn't matter if you're vacuuming, doesn't matter if you're on the phone, you know, talking with anybody. I mean, they're crying for milk. They want milk. Now, if you can get that picture, you don't need to wait till everything's just right. Well, you know, I've just gotten back from work and I'm tired. You know, and I said hell or damn today, so I probably couldn't get in the Word, you know. Well, those are biblical words, so you're getting close. Amen. You're getting close. No, your spirit man's crying, I need Word. I need Word. Why do you need Word? Because it satisfies. It satisfies. Go to chapter 1. Back up to chapter 1. Go to verse 23. Being born again. How many of you are born again? Well, if you're a Christian who's accepted Christ, you're born again. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. I want you to underline this, but of incorruptible seed. By what? The Word of God, which lived long ago in the sweet by and by. Somebody shout me down. Which liveth and abideth forever. Now, you know, one of my undergraduate degrees was psychology. And boy, there's some messed up people when you start reading that kind of literature, you know. But they have different models of learning. How does the brain actually learn? How do you actually retain information in your brain? And probably the closest one, they're still figuring and discovering, but probably the closest one is that it's through a process of chemical and electrical reaction within the physical organ of the brain I'm talking about. And so in surgery, they tell you that in surgery, when they're doing brain surgery, they can actually probe parts of the brain, and it will stimulate. That person will actually many times wake up having remembered or had dreams depending on what part of the brain is probed, because it's literally stored electrically and chemically within the brain. Now, I want you to watch this. If you begin to meditate on the Word literally, not figuratively, literally becomes stored in your flesh, and the Word is becoming flesh. You are literally being transformed from glory to glory by the Word and the activity of the Spirit of God in your life. You are allowing the Word to grow in you. Conversely, if I'm meditating on the wrong stuff, then that, those images, those thoughts, those words from those songs, those lyrics, they are being stored within me, and that is becoming flesh. Somebody say, thank God for the resurrection. See, we're not going to entirely get there, but we are called to go through a transformation process beginning now. And once our flesh is going to go through resurrection, hallelujah, and we will be like Him. Won't that be glorious? Hallelujah. But I want you to see this. Reading, studying, and meditating in God's Word, it changes your mind. It changes your mind. Some of you need a mind change. Some of you need to change your mind. Well, his problem is he's double-minded. Literally double-minded. Think this way, think that way. Think this way, think that way. The Bible says put on the mind of Christ. Go with me to Joshua chapter 1. You get anything out of this? Reading, studying, and meditating in the Word of God. Why do we need to read, study, and meditate in the Word of God? Because it brings the thoughts of God to us. Now remember what we're talking about. We're talking about abiding. So in order for the Lord, I come over here and preach at Jason. Jason preaching to Jason. Oh yes. Deep calleth unto deep. We could really get spooky with this, you know. So here's, I'm going to take the place of the resurrected Christ via the Holy Spirit. So here comes the Spirit wanting to commune, wanting to fellowship with this brother. The first thing we're told that in the Word that the Spirit of God will reach for is Word. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But what if there's no Word in there? What if he hasn't been reading, studying, and meditating the Word of God? What if he's kept himself out of church? What if he's been listening to all the popular pop music? And so the Holy Spirit's going to have a difficult time developing that communion and reminding him. It says, we won't turn there, but it says in St. John 14, verse 26, that the Spirit shall bring to your remembrance all things that I have told you. So one of the things that we need to do is give the Holy Spirit something to work with. So as we meditate in the Word of God, then the Holy Spirit has a way of, can I just kind of illustrate it like bubbles, just bubbling up the Word. It's not normally the thing that you're going to be walking through the day and hear an audible voice. People that claim to hear audible voices daily, they need help. We studied about them in psych class. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm not saying God could never do that, but I'm saying the normal process is the Holy Spirit will quicken your thought life. Begin to bring up scriptures, remind you of something that Pastor Jason preached about. Or remind you of something that, you know, Scott told you on the telephone when you were talking with him. And you didn't like what he said, so you called up Brennan, and Brennan said the same thing, you know. Hello, everybody say hello. I believe the Holy Spirit's trying to communicate to you, and you don't need to make it harder than it is. All right, Joshua chapter 1, go to verse 7. God, through Moses, is speaking to Joshua, and he says, Only be thou strong and very courageous. All right, so look at this. Joshua is taking Moses' place. How many of you know that could be a little bit intimidating? How would you like to try to step into the shoes of Moses? Okay, let's see what you can do with the Red Sea. I mean, you know, that could be a little bit of intimidation there. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or the left. Underline this, that thou mayest prosper wherever thou goest. How many of you know God wants to prosper you wherever you go? Amen. Now put a star by verse 8. Put a box around verse 8. This is the Christmas season. Get you a Christmas pen that writes in gold and mark verse 8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate. Circle the word meditate. You'll meditate therein once a month. Sorry, that was the perverted paraphrase here. Thou shalt meditate therein when you feel led. You shall meditate therein when you feel spiritual. Well, that'd leave most of us out all the time. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Pastor, I just don't seem to have the power to do what's right. You got to meditate in the Word. The Word is the key to life, grace, truth. It's got to become a part of you. You've been born again. This incorruptible seed wants to begin to grow in you so that you'll have the ability to do what God wants you to do. Now underline this part. The last part of verse 8 is so powerful. For then, say it. Come on now. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have, say it, goods. Hallelujah. Don't you tell me success isn't in the Bible. One version says, then thou shalt deal wisely. From God's angle, from God's point of view, there is no success, real success, without His wisdom. So when I'm meditating in the Word begins to coach me. Could I just put it to you that way? The Word begins to coach me. The Holy Spirit has something to grab a hold of and begin to remind me. Suddenly, I am in that state of communion. Aren't we talking about abiding? I'm in that state of union, of communion, where now Jesus, very practically, is using the Word to lead me in a path of prosperity and blessing. Amen. Amen. Well, I'd sure like to own a house, but I'm not sure we could ever own a house. Nobody in the past in my family ever owned a house or never went to college or whatever, whatever, whatever. That's why you need to start thinking different. You need to start thinking different. You need to start thinking what God thinks. And as you do that, that fellowship, that communion, that union, that abiding begins to deepen and grow in the Lord. Deepen and grow in the Lord. We had the privilege of having Dave and Janice Meadows. They came over and visited our home yesterday and just stopped by. And it reminded me of some things. It just reminded me of how when we first walked in there, in that home, I was standing there. And the realtor said something like, do you like this home? And I was like, well, sure, I like the home, but you know. And my natural mind was like, you know, if I was the president of some small country, you know, maybe we could get this home. And it just kind of going in the natural, you know. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, the communion. Everybody say the communion. Everybody say the union. Everybody say the abiding. The Holy Spirit just started quickening verses to me. Verses started coming up. All things are possible. It could happen. Everybody say it could happen. Amen. Just a thought. Just a thought. Good thought. It could happen. My God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so what you're going to go with? You're going to go with the counsel of God? You're going to go with the counsel of the flesh, the natural? Let God's word arise. Say it. Let God's word arise. And as we just begin to walk it out and believe God and go forth, now we're there and we're so blessed. We're thankful. We don't deserve it. Don't deserve it. Don't deserve even the furniture in it. I deserve hell, but I get in heaven. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Colossians 1. Colossians 1. Now I'm gonna take a passage of Scripture and read it two different ways. And I think when you see what I'm doing, you're gonna get a new level of understanding. How many of you want to go a little bit deeper today? Colossians 1, go to verse 16. Now, I want you to get hold of this before we leave this point, because this, if you'll get hold of this, as I said, this is an absolute requirement. This is not a suggestion. This is not a neat, nifty idea. This is an absolute essential. If you want to develop that abiding relationship, you've got to be in the Word of God on a regular basis. Now, I'm not standing up here saying that if you miss one day reading the Bible that you're a bad Christian. I have not said that. But you've just missed out on the blessing you could have had. And you need to understand that. Colossians 1, go to verse 16. For by Him, now the Him here is Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. Now follow me. I'm in verse 16. Colossians 1, verse 16. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether it be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist, or the marginal reading there says, are held together. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have, underline it, the preeminence, which means the first place. Well, I don't have a problem reading that when I see Jesus in there, do you? Hallelujah. I mean, that's kicking, shouting stuff. Jesus, yeah, amen. But how many of you know Jesus is the Word?
Yes.
Now, I'm going to read this just a little bit different, and it's fair to do that because we just read in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. All right, look at this, verse 16. For by the Word were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things were created by the Word and for the Word. And the Word is before all things, and by the Word all things consist or are held together. And the Word is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things the Word might have first place, the preeminence. Now, what does that say to your life? It means in your life that if you'll get on the Word has creative ability. Look at verse 16. It says the Word will put you above all the powers that are assaulting your life. It says in verse 17 that your life will hold together instead of coming apart at the seams. It says in verse 18 that the Word will cause you to have victory over death. It says the Word should have first place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know about Christians who don't bring their Bibles to church. Now, if you didn't bring your Bible to church, don't get under condemnation, but bring it next time. Well, Pastor, are we going to buy Bibles for the back of the chairs for everybody? No, they can get their own Bibles. Amen. This isn't wimpy Christian Center. This is get your own Bible Christian Center. Don't shout at me because I'm preaching so good. I don't know about people that don't read their Bibles that, you know, yeah, I do know about them. There's no way they can have victory. I'm going to say it again. There's no way you can walk in consistent victory without being in the Word of God. And especially, some of you could twist this, but I'm going to say it. Especially when you're going through a crisis, you really need to be in the Word. Now, you need to be in the Word all the time, but you understand. I mean, you need to get the Word of God in you. You're getting ready to run a marathon, you need to get some fluid in you before you start the race. Hallelujah. So the second key for developing the abiding life, reading, studying, and meditating in God's Word. Number three, the third key that I want to give you. By the way, next week we will finish the series on abiding. And so next week we'll cover three more keys. That'll take us to key number seven. Number three here, develop the listening side of prayer. If you want to grow in that abiding relationship, you've got to develop what I call the listening side of prayer. Go with me to Acts 13. Now, this is a biggie. And this quite honestly, is going to take some time to develop. You're going to make some mistakes. I'm not confessing that on you. I'm just telling you the truth. You're going to make some mistakes. I've made many mistakes in what I thought was God or maybe the timing issue. But you know, that's one way you're going to learn. Hopefully you won't make any mistakes. But you've got to learn to listen. Everybody say listen.
Listen.
Now in the natural, how many of you know there's some folks that need to learn to listen? Have you ever been out to eat with somebody who does all the talking? It's like they got a Briggs & Stratton engine strapped right here, you know, and it's just like, no. And I mean, here you are, through with your meal, and they're still pushing around the macaroni. That ain't even started. Why? Because their mouth has already been filled up. Filled up with what? Their own words. And sometimes I just feel like just reaching across there and going, stop, please. You're killing me, man. Stop. I'm going to do it anyway, just for fun. Look at somebody and say, is he talking to you? Oh, hallelujah. That felt good. Yes. Get over it, God. I can get you when I'm up here. Oh. Acts 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Now that's interesting in and of itself. We're talking New Testament here. Well, I know about the prophets in the Old Testament, Isaiah and all his bunch. Who are these guys? Who are these ladies? Prophets and prophetesses are in the New Testament. Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and last but not least, Mr. Saul. Don't ever feel bad when you're last on the list, all right? Verse 2. Circle the word as, because this is an action. This is something that is happening. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Well, something happened. I want you to mark it. The Holy Spirit said. I want you to mark that. I wonder why the Holy Spirit doesn't ever talk to me. Are you ministering to the Lord? Are you fasting? Are you pressing in and seeking God? Or do you go to church twice a year whether you feel like you need it or not? Come on. Are you pressing in? Or are you just holding on? I'm in the Word. I'm in prayer. What is this thing ministering to the Lord? I know about ministering for the Lord. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about, look at it in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord. What is ministry to the Lord? Ministry to the Lord is when you begin to lift your voice and worship the Lord. You are alone in your office or your home or your car or your truck or your airplane or wherever you is. And you just begin to magnify the Holy One of Israel. You begin to worship Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father. You begin to love on Him and worship Him and praise His holy name. You begin to sing some psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Get on over into unknown tongues. Hallelujah. You're pressing in. Praying for your wife. You're praying for your children. You're praying for their future mate. I mean, you're really seeking God as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Fasted. Everybody say fasted. Now, this is a subject you can discuss at lunch today. That's when you'll have the most determination. Listen, to go without food, you gotta want something. To go without food, or it doesn't have to be an entire fast. Some people just, you know, might give up a sugar for a week. Some people might, if they a coffee drinker, I'm going to give up coffee. I had one person come, and it blessed me during our time of seeking the Lord over the building. And they said, you know, I like a certain type of a soft drink. And I drink that every day. I'm not drinking any soft drinks. I'm fasting that to the Lord. So there's different kinds of fast, but when you give up something with the right heart, I'm not talking about to try to earn brownie points from God, but you're doing it with the right heart, pressing into God. As they ministered the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, draw near to God, James says, and He will draw near to you. As they ministered the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, underline this phrase, for the work. Everybody say the work. Everybody say the work. Now don't miss this. Seeking God and hearing God was the real work. Then they got to the outward work. Do you see it? They were abiding and then the fruit came. We want to go to work. And then we'll seek God once we get in a mess. Oh, God bless this mess. That prayer comes across the Lord's table quite frequently. And the Lord said, well, you wouldn't be in that mess if you had sought my best to begin with. Go with me to Acts 10. Just hang a left, go to Acts 10. Verse 19. I'm talking about developing abiding. I'm talking about growing in your walk with the Lord in fellowship. And I'm saying this to you, you've got to develop the listening side of prayer. Look at verse 19. Acts 10, verse 19. While Peter thought, would you underline the word thought? Did you know just because you're spirit-filled, you can still think? Hello? There was some humor there. If you're thinking. Some people think to be spirit-filled means to turn your brain off. Wrong. While Peter thought on the vision, notice this, the Spirit said to him. Now look at the combination. He'd had a vision. That had already happened. Now he's just meditating. Sitting up on this roof, just meditating. Out on his porch, we'd say. Out on his porch, just thinking. I wonder what the Lord's saying here. Thinking about this. Why the Lord, you know, gave me that vision. All those wild animals coming down. Not supposed to eat that stuff. What's that all about? The Spirit said, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. How many of you want to get to the point where the Holy Spirit can tell you what's coming before it comes? Now, I don't see Mike. Is Mike Connor in here today? You probably had a night shift last night. He's one of our members, and he's a police officer. And he works the night shift. He told me this story just this week. He said that he had pulled, and I may have some of the facts, not quite as he would tell them, but the gist of the story is there. He had pulled an individual over, and as soon as he looked at the individual's face, he said, I heard that voice on the inside saying, there's trouble here. And so they've got these radios that they keep like up on their shoulder. And so he called back and gave the information, the driver's license, tag, whatever. And they speak in code on the radio. And he heard them dispatching another unit to back him up. Now, they wouldn't do that unless there was a problem. And so he said he kept hearing that voice on the inside saying, you better cuff this guy. You better cuff this guy. And so I said, what'd you do? Now, you got to know Mike. He's pretty built, muscular, you know, cut type guy. And I said, what'd you do? He said, I used the oldest trick in the book. He said, I looked over there. I said, what's that? And when the guy turned that way, he said, I went, bam! And bopped him right in the stomach, knocked him down, and cuffed him. When the backup squad got there, found out this guy had multiple, he was wanted in Cobb County alone for a multiple assault and battery on policemen. On policemen. And so this other squad car pulls up and they all jump out. Where'd he go? Where'd he go? And Mike's got him on the ground cut. And he said the talk that night back at the station was, how did you cuff that guy? He was one mean dude. How'd you get him? How'd you get him? And Mike just thought to himself, thank God for the voice. Thank God for the voice. Are you getting anything out of this? And so that guy's locked up and probably got a jail ministry today. Hallelujah. We just believe he'll be reached. Go with me to chapter 8. You learning anything? Now, folks, that's a story hot off the wire out of the midst of our congregation. And we need to be doing that. You don't need to be doing all the talking. Now, there's a time where you talk and you seek God, but there's a time where you listen. Listen. Listen for what? Listen for scripture bubbling up. Listen or sense an impression that comes. People call it different things. A witness. Some people call it the green light, the red light. You know, you don't know why, but I'm not supposed to go forward. It looks good, but I'm not supposed to go forward. Other times you just feel the peace of God about it. Sometimes you feel a grieving. Just something's not right, a disturbance. Those are ways the Lord has of communicating with us. Amen? Acts 8. Go to Acts 8. And let's go to verse 26. How many of you remember a guy named Philip the evangelist? Now, we don't have time to read the whole background here, but Philip had gone down to Samaria. And if I could just put it in our modern terminology, Billy Graham had a citywide crusade. Philip the evangelist had gone into Samaria and had a citywide crusade. I mean, it was the happening place. Devils were coming out. People were getting saved. I mean, it was awesome. To the point that the apostles back at Jerusalem heard about it, and they were dispatched to go investigate it and kind of authenticate, you know, what was happening there. And all of a sudden, Philip gets a new direction. Everybody say a new direction. Look at verse 26. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. Now, I want you to mark that. The Bible is very clear. We're not to seek after angels. But did you know angels speak to us? Sometimes the thing that you think is God speaking to you, it's really God via one of his angelic spirits somehow impressing you. I don't know how they do it. I don't know if they wave their wings over you, you know, and stir the atmosphere around you. I don't know what the angels do. We know in the garden it says Jesus was strengthened by angels. They says angels came and ministered to him. I don't know if they lay their wings on you or what the angels do. But it's very clear, verse 26, the Baptist Bible says it, the Methodist Bible, whatever Bible you got there, it says, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go towards the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza to the desert. Everybody say the desert. Yes. Now come on. If I was having a citywide revival and the big shots, Peter was on his way down to certify it as an authorized revival, I'd want to be there, wouldn't you? Yes. And if I heard a voice saying, go now to the desert, I'd say, I rebuke that. I'm supposed to be under the spout where the glory's coming out. I don't want to go down to the desert. Nothing in the desert. Everybody say, Verse 27, he arose and went. You ought to mark that. Thank God he obeyed. You know, there's a lot of Christians that don't obey. Then wonder why all hell breaks loose. He arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure. This guy's a rich cat. Had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning, sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit, I want you to mark verse 29. Then the Spirit said, so we've had an angel talk to the guy, and I want you to mark this in verse 29. Now the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran there to him and heard him read Isaiah and said, do you understand what you read? Well, we don't have time to read the whole account. It's very interesting, but there's a lot of insights here. I mean, the angel knew and the Spirit knew that a chariot would be coming by right at that time. Now, how could that possibly be? That's because God's God. Everybody say, God's God. So, I mean, God's up here and he sees, here comes this chariot. Well, if I talk to Philip now, and if Philip will obey me promptly, he could get there in time. If he lags behind, then he's not going to get there in time, and I'm not going to continue to bless that revival through him. He's going to have to go back to hearing God 101. He speaks to him. He instantly obeys, runs down there, and just so happens. Everybody say, just so happens. Honey, the just so happens will start happening if we'll have the listening side of prayer. If we'll have the listening side of prayer, this brings us into a new realm of abiding and communing. Now look back at that example I gave with Mike Connor. What if he hadn't have heard the voice? Or what if he had shut the voice down, just not obeyed it? That took some faith. That took some faith. Because what if you'd talked to a guy, you know, who's a nice guy? You'd be in trouble. I mean, here, a person who's wanted for multiple assaults, I mean, that's hearing God and stepping out there. Amen. Amen. All right, number four, let's move on. The fourth key that's going to help you. And I'm really big on this one. Put a star by this one. It's so important. It's so important. Number four, the fourth key, you must develop the habit of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs throughout the day. You must become a worshiper, in other words. You must develop the habit of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs throughout the day. I didn't say on Sunday. I didn't say on Wednesday. I said throughout the day. Go with me to Ephesians 5, and let's look at a most powerful passage on worship. Ephesians chapter 5. Develop the habit. Everybody say the habit. Now, you know, a habit is something you do a lot. Well, I worshiped the Lord once last month. That ain't a habit. Now, how many of you know there's good habits and there's bad habits? You've heard me tell this, but my daddy, before he got saved, and even a little bit after he was saved, he was addicted to cigarettes. And my daddy was an alcoholic. He got delivered from alcoholism. I led my dad to the Lord, but he still smoked. How many of you know that you can be a very sincere Christian and still have some baggage in your life? If you don't believe that, just study the mirror when you get home. And the person in the mirror will give you this revelation. But, I'd see my dad struggling. He tried, and he had some starts where he'd quit and go back and forth like that. And I didn't bug him about it. I said, Dad, I said, you know what? You just keep walking with the Lord, and as you stay in the Word and read your devotional literature that he had, I said, one day it's just going to click, and I said, it's going to drop off of you if you have that desire, which it finally did. And he was delivered from cigarettes as well. But it's a physical addiction. But somebody who has a habit, they don't smoke like, well, I smoked a cigarette 2 weeks ago. You ever seen somebody that's addicted? They get fidgety. Got to have it. I got to have it. I'd see my dad, he had to throw away the pack, you know. And he's like, okay, today I'm quitting. Throw away the pack. Flush him down the toilet. By noon he'd be wishing he hadn't. Where are those things, you know, are there some still floating in the toilet? I could draw them out, you know. Going back over there, too. I mean, people that are addicted to nasty stuff, man, they'll do anything. I'd see my dad, he'd be fidgeting like this. He'd be reaching, well, it's usually there, it's not there. I'm going to have to go buy me another pack, you know. And fidgety. Now, we need to get that way about worship, where if we go an hour without psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, I'm getting fidgety. I've got to have it. Where's my psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? Praise God. Excuse me, I got to go to the bathroom. I really don't have to, but I got to go to the bathroom and get in the stall and lock the door. Woo, I feel better. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Here I come. I've had my fix now. Amen. Now, I'm being a little bit silly with you, but I want to tell you something. If you're not singing some psalms, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down. He makes me lie down in a restful state. He makes me lie down in a restful state. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down. He doesn't work me hard. He doesn't work me beyond my ability. He makes me lie down. Amen. I'd like an application for the worship team. Martha keeps rejecting my application for the worship team. Oh, I'm serious with you. When I had this revelation that I don't have to wait to Sunday, I don't have to wait until, you know, we've got such fantastic musicians, until everything's just sounding like they can make it sound, I can lift my voice and worship the Lord myself. And what does it do? It creates an atmosphere that I'm more likely to hear God. Follow me now. Ephesians 5. Go to verse 18. Well, let's go to verse 17. Well, let's go to verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. How many of you want to be wise in your walk with the Lord? Mark, here's some things for you to do. Verse 16. Redeem the time. I like the way one version says it. Make the best use of your time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, underline this, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, I want you to underline the phrase in verse 17, understanding what the will of the Lord is. How many of you want to know what God's will is? I'm not talking about just the general overall will. I mean, I need to know God's will in this business deal. You know what I'm saying? I need to know God in my children. Raising my children. I need to know God's will in this or that. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. And it's not just alcohol he's picking on. Let me just say this. Don't allow any substance abuse to cause your senses to be blurred. I mean, you can have legalized prescription medication that can get you in trouble. Huh? I could even go a little bit further. Don't be drunk with videos. I mean, there's some people that they're so intoxicated with movies, they got to go see every single blasted movie that comes out. And then they wonder why they can't hear God. You know? Be not drunk with wine, where's an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now that phrase, be filled, doesn't mean a one-time deal like a lot of Spirit-filled folks think. It means keep on being filled. Everybody say, keep on. Everybody say, fill her up. Everybody say, fill her up. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit is saying to you today. He's saying, keep your gas tank filled up. Why do I have to say everything, says the Lord? Because you run out of gas. Somehow driving a car and they're crying on the side of the road. There's a car quit. Tow truck pulls up. What's the problem? Pull up the hood. What's it? I don't see anything. What's it? Ma'am, you're out of gas. Sir, you've just run out of gas. Oh! You see that little E right there? That little E on your dash stands for empty. Now, I'm being silly, but I'm making a spiritual point. Don't we see Christians all the time broke down on the side of the road, as it were? I don't know how I got here. That E means empty. How can I fill her up? Look at verse 19. Mark it and never forget it. Speaking. Everybody say speaking. Speaking. Now, I want you to point this out in verse 19. He goes from speaking, and then notice down a little bit further, he uses the word singing. He says, speaking to yourselves. Or one version says to one another, speaking to yourselves, and underline these three things, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You say, well, what are the psalms? Well, you got 150 of them right there. So there's some psalms, David's songs, that are there in the Bible. And the priest's songs of those days, there they are right there. And one of the neat things is, in all denominations, not just interdenominational churches, but did you know in a lot of the denominations, they're beginning to sing the script, what we call scripture songs. They're beginning to sing songs that have scripture in them. Well, what are the hymns? The hymns are, we're pretty much aware of those, hymn books. Wonderful, wonderful songs that were written by the saints of old. A mighty fortress is our God. You can't get a better song than that. Written by Martin Luther. A mighty fortress is our God. A bulwark never failing. And so many of the old hymns are powerful. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus that makes me white as snow. Amen. Washes away my sin. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So we've got songs, we've got hymns, and then there's another little category here, mark it, called spirit songs or spiritual songs. That is when you begin to sing in other tongues. You begin to sing by and with the Holy Spirit. So you can't lose. You got three ways. You got songs. You got some hymns. And if you've received the baptism, the release of the Holy Spirit in your life, you begin to worship God that way too. Where you begin to sing with another language, words, syllables, sounds that come by the Holy Spirit. He says, speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in whose heart?
Your heart.
Now that's very important that you circle your heart. Because a lot of folks want to read verse 19 as though it's only good for a group setting. Well, my Bible says speaking to one another, so that's just for the group when you go to church. How come it says on down, singing and making melody in whose heart? Your heart. So may I just say this, before we come together as a corporate body, we ought to be worshipers throughout the day ourselves. I ought to be singing and making melody in my heart. And when I come into the group setting and we've all come in worshiping the Lord, then we are moving in a corporate body worshiping God. Now the reality of it is, if we're going to be honest, there's times that you hadn't been worshiping during the week and I hadn't been worshiping during the week. You've had a hard week and you've slipped. You got your eyes back over on the fruit instead of abiding. You're all, you know, confused in your thinking. And you come into a church service and you just barely made it. Anybody ever seen somebody just barely made it? They look like those fish that are floating on the surface. Just, you ever seen fish floating on the surface? It's like, have you ever had a goldfish and you hadn't changed the water in a long time? And you walk in there and they're just kind of like, and their mouth is just like, oh! 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 You put some fresh water in there and all of a sudden they get a little feisty. And their tails start to wag it and here they go. I have seen it in church services where you look back and there looks like somebody just had the stew beat out of them. And they're just like they're... And on about the second song, you can begin to see a little, uh-huh. Oh, yeah. And all of a sudden, they come to life. Why? They are in an atmosphere of worship. But you know what? Many times, they don't get it. Everybody say, they don't get it. They don't get it. What do they get? They don't get that you can go out and live like that. Here they come next week. Oh! Oh! They don't get it that Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. I don't have to go to church to worship. I can worship God in my truck, in my car, doing my jobs, on my business. Everybody say the habit. Look at somebody and say, get the habit. I didn't say kick the habit. I said get the habit. Amen. Everybody say worshiping.
Worship.
Throughout the day.
Amen.
Now, obviously, there's times you're focused on a task, you're on a computer, you're doing something, you're focused. But we have all these wonderful, I call them in-between times. I'm on a break. I'm walking down the hall. You know, I'm going to lunch. Everybody say redeem the time.
Redeem the time.
And in the beginning, when you start doing this, you'll forget. You go, you know, oh man, I need to turn the radio off. Pastor said I could worship today, right now. Start worshiping. And what does this do? Now don't miss this, I'm about through. In your Bible, I want you to draw an arrow from verse 19 and point it back up to verse 17. Because if you'll do verse 19, you will understand what the will of the Lord is. In other words, when you are in an atmosphere of worship and praise, you are more likely to have an understanding. That's a soulish function. That's a mental function. The Holy Spirit has a better opportunity to begin to show you what you need to do. Honey, is that abiding or what? Is that vitally united to and communing or what? That is walking with the Lord. One final passage, Psalm 29. Psalm 29. You enjoying this? Many of you know this, but you've let it slip. And the word of the Lord to you today is, renew it, use it, don't lose it. I want to show you this little insight in Psalm 29 that's going to really help you. Why do we worship God? Number one, we worship God because He's God. He's worthy of our worship. But did you know when we worship God, we have benefits? Did you know when we worship God, one thing I know it does, it takes our focus off the problem and puts it on our true source, who's God Almighty. I also know that when we worship God, there's a therapy that occurs. There's a soulish therapy. There's a healing ointment that comes into my mind, will, and emotions. There's a therapy to worship. But another main reason for worshiping, jot this down if you haven't already done it, it positions you to hear God better. It positions you to hear God better. There's something about the atmosphere of true worship that causes your spirit to get tuned up to hear what God might say or impress in your life. Psalm 29, verse 1. Don't miss this. Psalm 29, verse 1. Give unto the Lord. Everybody say, give. What are we going to give? Oh, ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord. Everybody say, give. What are we going to give? Give unto the Lord, verse 2, the glory due His name. Underline it. Worship. Worship. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now look at the result. Verse 3, the voice of the Lord. Look at verse 4, the voice of the Lord. Look at verse 5, the voice of the Lord. Look at verse 7, the voice. Verse 8, the voice. Look at verse 9. Are you getting the picture, honey? When you worship, it activates the voice of God. Verse 11, the Lord will give strength to His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. I want to tell you something. When you develop the habit of worship throughout the day, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, you are more apt to have that little voice say, there's something dangerous about this situation. You better call headquarters. There's something that positions you to sense that impression that says, this is a good opportunity. It's going to be a squeaker, but go for it. Boy, I have been there many times. Many times I've been in my airplane and I've been flying down a front. They say there's no way through it. I remember we were coming back from Rockford, Illinois one time, and we had to fly all the way to Missouri. I mean, there were thunderstorms mounted up to 40,000 feet. And we got on this side, and I was trying to, if I wanted to get home, we were trying to find an opening. We were trying to find a passage. And I could see him there in the distance, about 10 miles out. I'm just flying down the line, all the way to the Gulf of Mexico. And they said there was no brakes. I had my radar on. I had my eyeball out there. Suddenly, I saw an opening. I said, suddenly, I saw an opening. My radar confirmed it. I turned the plane and I headed right towards it. And I went through and there was probably a gap, wasn't dangerous at all. Probably about a 5 mile gap, 10 mile gap. I went through there, got on the other side of that deal and went on home. Hallelujah. Now if I can just put it to you that way, when you're in worship, your radar is activated. Your radar is out there showing you how to make it through the storms of life. Abiding in Jesus. That's where the action is. Praise God.